Well, this will be a unique experience for podcast listeners because it's everywhere. It's getting worse, and it's going to get you. Flu season. We're going to talk about it in podcast 870, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, yeah, this is going to be hard for some people to listen to because I've got the voice issue, which I'm not going to apologize for because, you know, the show must go on. So we're back up and running and feeling great. And we're going to talk about that in this podcast. But I haven't had a chance to go out and hang out with my friend Greg Ryan from Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business, because one of the things we often talk about are plumbing and heating and air conditioning problems that happen that they have to deal with at Ryan Plumbing and Heating, because when it comes to keeping all these systems operating, at home or business, you have to have people that know what they're doing. So here's what I want to talk about. I've been talking about heating checks all along through fall with Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And one of the things we've talked about is today's systems. So if you have a newer house, today's systems are very complex. Things happen and people aren't sure why. There's that. The other thing is if you have an older house, if you have an older parent in an older house that haven't been updated in a while, then getting an update on some of that stuff can really be helpful. So that's where Ryan Plumbing and Heating comes in. Ryan Plumbing is in St. Paul. They've been in St. Paul. They're going to be in St. Paul. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis. 612-927-6488. Four generations in St. Paul in Frogtown. What do they do? Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. They do residential, and of course, they do business. Yes, they can still make sure that all the heating and the plumbing systems are working. One of the big issues are the outside faucets. If they haven't been turned off right, you could have a huge problem with those faucets freezing. A lot of people don't know that. Also, what about filters? What about all sorts of things with heat? It's going to get cold. We're getting into Thanksgiving season, and you know what happens right after Christmas and Thanksgiving in Minnesota. We turn into the coldest place on earth. So when you have plumbing or heating problems, you want reliable service. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online at ryanplumbing.com. And more about Ryan later in the podcast. Well, I have to say I haven't been printing very much during my 10-day bout with the flu. But when I do think about printing, what do I think about? Think about Cartridge World. Why? Because these big box retailers are raping us when it comes to these print cartridges. Cartridge World in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores. I'm going to tell you all about Cartridge World in the future, but you can call them from wherever you are. Cartridge World in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. Ask for Jason and get yourself taken care of when it comes to print cartridges. 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632. Business and residential. Click on the banner at the top of the page at bobdavispodcast.com that says Cartridge World, and they will hook you up. This is more of a sit and talk podcast because I don't have the energy to do anything. Just recovering after 2 weeks of the flu, and my voice is a little weak. I'm not going to apologize for that because I hate how people go, you know, I'm going to do my YouTube channel presentation. I'm really sick. I'm really sorry that my voice is the way it is. Well, you know, I feel great. I do not feel sick, but I sound really sick. And of course, if I talk too much, I get a sore throat. So when I get up, I have to do this and do it soon because I won't be able to do it later. And I don't want to talk a lot because it's still part of the recovery process. So yeah, I've had the flu for about 2 weeks. Thanks to steroids, we're coming out of the last vestiges of this. And for those of you that wonder, what's the flu like this year? Well, this is my, after 2 weeks, more than 10 days of this, I would say that it is like a hurricane. You know it's coming, and you know you could get glanced, you could get shellacked, or you could get missed completely. And you really don't have any idea the damage that could be done or will be done until the storm passes. Well, let me tell you, the storm is quite a storm this year. I am not a fan of flu shots. What a surprise. Or antibiotics. My understanding is, and this is what I've learned in this process, that antibiotics do nothing for the flu, which is a viral infection. If they get it soon enough, an antiviral can lessen the impact of the flu. But like most people, I waited to go to the doctor because I don't want to go to the doctor. You know, if I don't have, you know, fully symptomatic of whatever it is, because I didn't know it was wrong. And I finally went to the doctor because I was like, I could get pneumonia and I don't want to have to be rushed to the hospital with pneumonia or just die. with walking pneumonia. So I wanted to make sure that I monitored my, lungs and bronchial situation, because for some reason, this thing has attacked my lungs and ear, nose, and throat with a vengeance this year. I didn't have any of the stuff that you usually associate with the flu, like nausea, things of that nature. I definitely had the sort of malaise feeling, but usually I don't get attacked. My lungs don't get attacked, because my ex-wife used to get that, where she would just cough and cough and cough, and you could not believe how a person could cough that much. That's what happened to me this time. So why don't I get a flu shot? Well, I hate to say it, but the flu has never killed me. Maybe next time I'll get a flu shot. But I will say, after the last two weeks that I've been, it sure felt a couple of times as though I was going to be killed. So all I can do is sit in this chair and do the podcast. So this is a walk and sit podcast, and I have to get it done early, because if I keep talking, I'm just going to get hoarse. As a rule, vaccinations, unless they are really necessary, bother me, because I want the full immunity that only the contraction of the disease can give. And apparently I'm going to have it now. And after this experience, I fully understand why doctors recommend flu shots for older people and for people who really can't miss work, because the vaccination is supposed to make it so the hurricane just glances your island, as opposed to a direct hit where it just sits and sits and sits. Influenza is a virus that attacks your respiratory system, ears, nose, throat, and lungs. The early symptoms are always confusing for me. It comes down to how the coffee's tasting. When I went to the clinic, they asked me, well, how long have you had it, and did you know? And I said, well, I don't know. I have to think about that. And I came down to this. The coffee started tasting flat about 5 days out. And I actually remember, I keep my coffee in a bin, you know, a plastic bin. It should be glass, but I keep it in a plastic bin. And I keep the beans. And, I go through two 16-ounce containers of coffee beans every couple of weeks. So I have to go to Starbucks and get new coffee. And at one point, I went out and I bought new beans, because I thought, there's something wrong with this coffee. Maybe I just got a bad batch or something like that. And then I started sleeping a lot. And this is the thing. I sleep weird anyway. And it bothers me. And I talked about this a little bit in my podcast about this whole... That was the beginning of it, when I started to say, well, I've got to readjust my schedule. And anyway, because I was up at all hours of the day and night, and I wasn't really sleeping. But I really started needing more than the usual 6 to 8 hours of sleep. And then all through the second half of September, I was just exhausted. And I chalked it up to the 30-day challenge at yoga, where you do 30 classes in 30 days. I did 30 in 23. I went to, did my long weekend with the anarchists. And then I said, well, the change in the weather's just made me whatever. And then I started this enforced schedule change because of my nocturnal tendencies. And all my friends were getting stuffy noses and coughing, and I thought I was impervious. Well, you know, I'm impervious because I do yoga twice a day. And I was in a situation of being impervious when I was doing yoga twice a day. Then this thing started cutting through the yoga community like a hurricane. So we can always tell, because we get all these teachers who are not there. And so you got all these subs. So there was a period of time there where I was dealing with subs every day, you know, with new teachers that are just kind of working their way in, because the established teachers all got sick. And it was really, it's a cold, you know, and people are like, I just feel run down. And oh no, there's much more to this than feeling run down. That's the beginning. That's the radar notification that there's a hurricane coming. And it just kept getting worse. And then I slept all day, and I got up and I made some dinner, and I slept all night, and I got up for an hour, and I slept all day again. And I started coughing, and I couldn't stop at the beginning. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And I said, I got to go to the doctor. Well, I don't like doctors or hospitals. Part of it is that medical insurance in this country is stupid and it's useless. You can't, even if you have insurance, you've got these high deductibles. And I don't trust them anyway. So I went to a local clinic at a pharmacy, which is amazing because it's cheap and you get what you need. And again, my main concern was I didn't want to get pneumonia. Quick, spell it, right? What is it? Pneumonia. It's P-N-E-U-M-O-N-I-A. And I had it once. I did have pneumonia once. And the story is that years ago, when I got hit by a car on the freeway, this was in 2007, I've often told the story where I was trying to help my ex-wife, and we went to, and really her aunt was dying and I really wanted to see her. So we all went over to Eau Claire to see my ex-wife's aunt, and the kids were with us, and they had a car and I had a car. And I thought, I'll just go my way. And then there was a snowstorm that day. So coming back on 94, I spun out, and then they stopped. And then when I got my stuff out of the car and went up to their car, I didn't realize I was standing on the freeway. And I often told the story, if somebody stopped and I said, that guy's going to cause an accident, and I turned and started walking, and I heard, you know, this horrible sound behind me, and I was like, I'm dead. And I got hit by this car. Long story short, virtually no real injury. I just had a big bruise on one hip, and you know, I've often told the story. I don't need to go back through it, but if you've never been hit by a car going full freeway speed, that's quite an experience. Thank God that it was snowing and wet, because I didn't really, you know, I slid off the car. So, and I flew about 25 feet. Anyway, they after a long involved thing, I went to the hospital in Baldwin, Wisconsin, and they had to do an MRI to make sure that I didn't have internal injuries. And the doctor came back in after and said, by the way, you've got all this scar tissue from pneumonia. And I was like, what? Yeah, when did you have pneumonia? Well, I have no idea. And I thought back to it, and we were thinking about this the other day. That was the year I went down to the Virgin Islands, and I was so run down that that I ended up laying on a chaise lounge at the hotel, basically, and never got off the lounge, never went to the beach, never did anything except lay in the sun and recover from, you know, what I felt was just exhaustion. But I had had pneumonia, didn't even know it. I wasn't even coughing, and I was apparently had walking pneumonia. So going to the clinic was when I learned that I did not have a bacterial infection that was going to be addressable with antibiotics, because that doesn't work with the flu. And I'd apparently had the flu, and it had become pneumonia. So that was my biggest concern, because once you have it, I think you have a weakness to, you know, pneumonia. So I didn't want to have that. And, you know, that's when they tell you to go home, take aspirin, sleep, and they advise you to buy a bunch of the over-counter the crap, which I did. And I'm like, you mean there's no pill for the flu? No. Oh, great. So here's my advice. All the over-the-counter crap doesn't do anything. Remember back in the day when we were kids, we had Vicks Formula 44, or we had even NyQuil in those days had alcohol in it, or VapoRub. Now they've taken all those products and they put all these chemicals into them, and they don't work. They don't do anything. I've got some NyQuil here, and it's okay, but it doesn't have the punch that the original NyQuil had, and you can't find the original NyQuil formula. So what did I do? I bought basic aspirin. I drank tea with honey, and I slept a lot, and it didn't do anything. The hurricane had stopped over my island, and I'm sitting here sick as a dog reading Facebook about, you know, all my friends who have been hospitalized, throats closing down, and all this other stuff. So I went back to the clinic a second time, and this time I came home with steroids for the bronchial inflammation because I was concerned that I was going to get bronchitis that would turn into pneumonia. And she said, well, what color is the stuff you're coughing up? It's basically white. If it's brown or dark brown, then that's when we have to worry about pneumonia, and then you have to go to the hospital. Oh, boy. So I was glad that I got the steroids. Let me tell you something. The steroids are great. I felt better immediately, and I was still sick as a dog, but I was like, maybe I should go to yoga. Maybe I should work out. It was pretty amazing. And then they gave me some pharmaceutical cough suppressors, which really were useful because my throat hurt so bad from just cough, cough, cough. And that was when things started to improve, because the flu leaves damage in its wake. And without the cough suppressors and the steroids, I probably would have ended up in the hospital, as I said. So now what I want to talk about with this, I don't want to go through a long soliloquy about my disease and all of that, but what I want to talk about are the enforced elements of vacation that the flu provides for you in the second half of this podcast. As you guys know, I have been advertising legal services. And I'm really actually excited about this. So I have three or four attorneys that I'm working with, and I'm advertising what they do. And it's so important because we need lawyers with different disciplines for different problems. And one of my favorites is John Scott, who is my personal injury attorney. And I can easily refer him to you because he is someone that understands the process. He's not one of these lawyers who wants to go right into litigation necessarily, although he is a good litigator and he can litigate if he needs to. But most of the time, we don't think about the question, what if we're injured, or really how we're injured and whether or not it's a work-related injury. So what happens if you rent a car and you're in a car accident, or if you're on your way to work and you have a car accident and then you can't work? Or what happens if something happens to you at work and then you're unable to work? You're going to find out that a lot of employers don't really want to pay when it comes to workers' compensation. That's where you need someone like John D. Scott of Hoffman Hamer and Associates. John is a great personal injury attorney. Here's his number, 952-683-1351. That's 952-683-1351. I've mentioned it. It's true. An accident usually comes without warning. You don't think about it. So put John's number aside for a personal injury lawyer. And I'll be telling some of the stories about John. You can also click on the banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis podcast.com. This is a person who's very down to earth. He really wants to help, and he can help shepherd you through this thicket of workman's comp and HR and all of that stuff. And he knows how to work both sides of the fence on that. 952-683-1351, 952-683-1351, or click on the John Scott of Hoffman Hamer and Associates banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcasts.com. Well, I'm going to be engaging on some key issues here in the future. I'm doing this podcast now because my voice is still recovering from the flu, but there's a lot of stuff going on politically that I'm going to have to engage on. Not necessarily all outcomes, but one of the outcomes that's going on is what's going on with manufacturing and President Trump right now. Companies are really bringing manufacturing back to the United States, sometimes being actually asked to, potentially ordered to. If this is you and you have people in your decision-making chain when it comes to manufacturing, in the United States, you need a good manufacturer, and that's DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. I can recommend DepoStar for almost any project. They do all kinds of stuff. Visit their website at DepoStar.com. That's DepoStar, DepoStar.com. Great American manufacturing. Yeah, people tell me I drive myself pretty hard, and I don't see it. And I don't know whether it's because I have worked through and have been through so many difficult situations in my career, positive and negative, that what I'm doing now seems like a cakewalk. I think what I'm doing now, being a podcaster and supporting myself through podcasting, obviously I'm not getting rich, but I think one of the things it does is there's virtually no friction because you do what you want to do every day and you're engaged in this creative work every day. So I don't feel like I work very hard, but I do push myself physically with two yoga classes a day, not every day, but, you know, at least four or five times a month, or doing the yoga challenge of 30 and 30, like in 24 days or something like that. I can do that, and it's easy to do and fun. So I don't see that as driving myself too hard. So again, when you think of, oh, you drive yourself really hard, you work really hard, it doesn't feel like work to me. It just feels like what I do. And you can get run down. You can feel like you're in a rut and you start to get run down. And then what happens is in the end, without really being able to blame it on anything, you get called out of the game and you don't get a vote. And all you can do is wait it out. Well, that's what happens with the flu. Now, people today say things like, well, you idiot, get a flu shot and you won't have to worry about it. Well, we've been through the whole flu shot thing. I don't like them. And I have a lot of friends that don't like them. If you're 80 years old, I think you should have a flu shot, because I don't know if you could handle the constant coughing that occurs when you're in the throes of the hurricane hitting your island. You don't have the shelter of physical of robust physical strength that you have when you're younger. So, and it hits different people at different stages in harder ways. People in their 30s can get really hard, no matter how strong they are. So we're just lucky. First of all, you have to consider this. There's two flu viruses, A and B. The current vaccine is only about 50% effective, and the best way to develop future immunities is to actually contract the virus. I have not been sick for probably 4 or 5 years, like really sick. So my perception is, and I don't have any idea if this is true, but you will have more immunity. And the bad news is now you've got the flu, which means you're going to be down. No matter what you think, no matter what you do, you cannot get up, right? And I kind of like that because it brings a kind of clarity to thinking, because bottom line is you can't really do anything. First of all, my brain did not work for like 4 days. I'd sit there and read and have to reread and reread and reread because I'd read a paragraph and it didn't make any sense to me. So the flu can attack the brain too. And actually, there's a historical story about this. Woodrow Wilson was in the Europe, in France, doing the peace talks for the League of Nations when he got that, the Spanish flu, which killed more U.S. soldiers than the actual war and more people than the actual war at the time. That was a huge pandemic of the flu. And he was down for over a month. And when he got up, he was euphoric. And they didn't know at the time that the flu will attack your brain and can leave you with it's a form of meningitis. And that's the other thing that you don't think too much about when you have the flu, that his thinking was deeply negatively affected because he was making mistakes and thought he was doing great. So the flu can attack your brain too. And in my case, I just sat there and tried to read and think and I couldn't. So my thinking is useless too, you know, and I knew that. So you end up just sitting on the couch drinking tea and whatever you can find. And I forgot to do the Mexican Coke this year. And watch television because there's nothing else to do. You can't think. And you just cough and you cough and you cough. The other thing is you don't want to eat very much. And you can't do any work. So after a while, you start thinking about what you're going to do after it's all over, how good you're going to feel after it's all over. And then you think, it's never going to be over. And of course, it never is. This is like day 11 or 12, and I'm still, you know, suffering the after effects of the storm. But I remembered how grateful I am that I only have the flu. I've had two friends that have had strokes in the last few months, and I got to tell you, the stroke thing is amazing. One was a younger person who is truly amazing and having a full recovery. The other person is a much older person who is truly amazing and having a different kind of recovery. But I love life, and I know most of my listeners feel the same way. I love life even when it's hard. I love life when there is low energy, when it's uphill, because when you have to fight, then you appreciate those moments when you are riding downhill and you don't have to pedal. But every now and then, it's good to get knocked out of the game and see what we can do every day can be kind of an illusion, and that we're living this experience where we're healthy and we're living our life and doing our thing, and isn't life great? And I'm great, and you're kind of in this experience all the time, and you feel great, and you're doing what you do, but you don't really have time to evaluate what you're doing. When you're down, you have to evaluate what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I think that's so, so important. And you see that a lot of what we do every day can be an illusion, that we have to be careful that we don't get too focused on completing basic tasks or evaluate what we're doing over and over again as part of the illusion and doing it for effect. You know, a long time ago, I did a whole podcast and a whole show about the great fighter pilot Boyd, who enveloped, created the OODA loop, which is basically a decision-making process and strategy formation process based on aerial warfare, which then he went back and this guy was amazing, studied all kinds of strategies from Sun Tzu and all the great war fighters, Napoleon and the Romans and so forth, and developed this thing called the OODA loop, which is a process. And the process is basically, it's much more complicated than this, but the basic process is observe, orient, decide, and act. And I think in America, I can't speak for the rest of the world, but I think in America, if we are type A people, we get caught in the quote unquote act phase. And we just forget observation, orientation, and decision are just as important in the process of forming a strategy of what you're going to do in life as the act phase. We focus on the act phase, especially if we're type A, because we don't feel that we act all the time. You know, for me, follow through and action, actually follow through, but action has always been difficult because I live so much in my head and I think and strategize and in a much in an intellectual way. And I'm not saying I'm intellectual. I say that I'm thinking. So it's an intellectual process, and I can forget to act, to say, okay, you know, you've decided, now you can act. So you've come to the end of your analysis process. So I can get caught up in analysis and, you know, war counseling, basically, instead of saying, you know what, it's time to do this. I take a long time with decisions. I take a long time with analysis. And when left to my own devices, you know, I can go on and on with analysis. And it's actually a good thing for me because when I was younger, I acted very impulsively. And sometimes in my business, broadcasting, you have no choice because you can't wait. So you're constantly being forced. Well, you got to get that station on the air. You got to get that format changed. You got to get that morning show on. You got to get that podcast up. You got to get that show on. You don't have time to think about what you're going to do. Once you decide what you're going to do, you got to get out there and you do it. You don't have time. Well, that's what the OODA loop was developed for. You know, aerial combat, you don't have time to make decisions. So it has to be intuitive. So the observe portion of the strategy is something that takes place pretty quickly. And then the orientation to figure out where you're going to go next. So you have to be, you know, looking at your opponent and thinking where he's going to go. And then you have to think where I'm going to go to meet him so that I can shoot him down and then make the decision about how you're going to maneuver the aircraft to get there. And then the action of actually doing it. That's my interpretation of this. Well, in business, it's the same thing. You're constantly orienting. You're constantly observing and orienting, and you're constantly deciding where you're going to go to be to meet the market or to change what you're going to do. So to me, that's the best thing. The best thing about 10 days with the flu is you can't do anything. So all you can do is sit there and think. And so eventually you let go of all that. You finally just give up and let go of all of that stuff. And, you know, your mind is still working on it, but then you come back to it later and feel completely empowered. I can't wait to get back to everything. I feel great. I wouldn't recommend this course of action to everyone, but I'm actually glad that I had the flu, and I just hope I don't get a full version. I think I had A, but I could have had B. I hope I had them both so that I don't have to have another bout with this. And if I do, I'll see you in the Caribbean. Let's talk about payment processing real quick. I use ReliaFund, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D. This is how I found them. I found ReliaFund online, and I found ReliaFund because I needed a payment processor to allow my customers to pay me with an electronic check if they needed to or wanted to. Why do we have these systems? We have them because we want to get paid faster. And when you have a great payment processor, you get paid faster. Okay, so there's lots of choices when it comes to payment processors, right? Well, here's the thing. Depending on how sophisticated your business is, you probably have back office stuff that can sometimes be difficult to integrate into all of your systems what your new payment processor does. And I recommend ReliaFund because their specialty is integrating their system with your system seamlessly. This is what ReliaFund does. They are a payment processor that has been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. They were at the forefront of the payment processing revolution in this country. They have a lot of experience with banking and with payment processing of all kinds. So if you are changing your back office stuff, if you are developing an e-commerce site, these are the people that you want your developers to talk to. If you're a developer, this is a great payment processor to recommend for businesses that you're developing back office systems for or integrating systems for payment processing online or anything else. No long-term contracts. They're secure and technology focused and actually seamless. 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040. Or check them out online at ReliaFund.com. That's R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D.com. If you call them, you're going to talk to a human being, Greg Lowry or Kevin Hill, and they are great. ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. All right, I'm going to have to do a podcast on how the podcast industry now has grown and how these different places to find the Bob Davis podcast have cropped up all over the place. And I change my feeds and I go on and off these systems all the time, but you can always get the Bob Davis podcast through the podcast app on your Apple phone or iOS. You can go to iTunes if you still have it. There are lots of other options, blogtalkradio.com, Google Play, what else? Spotify is great for Android devices, Stitcher.com, and more. I'll tell you tell you more about it going into the future. I do appreciate the likes and shares on Facebook. If you want to know more about the commenting, you can listen to my podcast about how I turned off the Facebook comments. I don't need to emphasize that. I often talk about social media's impact on the political discourse. I don't like the commenting, but I do appreciate the shares, and I appreciate you listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com. We have live streaming, and you can pick individual podcasts and so forth. And thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command. More about that as we get close to 2020 in future podcasts. Thanks for listening to Podcast 870. Thank God I can stop talking now. So what is wrong with another thing?